Philippians chapter 1, beginning with verse 12. Hear now the word of the Lord. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. What shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. This is God's holy word for us today. Life often throws us a lot of curveballs and a lot of junk. Some of us have experienced more than others. Many of us experiencing difficult days even today, even now. COVID-19 has a lot of us on edge. Our responses to COVID-19 and this pandemic has a lot of us on edge. I've heard many people say that they just wish this was all over. They're tired of it. They're ready to be back to normal, ready for it all just to go away. And I wish I never had to deal with this. I can appreciate that. I can relate to that sentiment. No one wants to deal with this. No one asked for it. These are very confusing times, challenging times, conflicting times on many levels. So let's first acknowledge that we're struggling. We are struggling. Struggling to make sense of things, maybe struggling to live together with our differences of opinions. Struggling to do what's best for the most people under our care. And we're suffering. Many suffering grief due to the loss of a loved one as a direct result of COVID-19, suffering the effects of loss of income, suffering that may be caused because you are having to do so many things differently than you used to do them. And many churches and church members are suffering because they're not able or they're not allowed to meet together, to pray, to worship together, or to receive the means of grace, baptism in the Lord's Supper. So let's acknowledge that we're struggling and we're suffering this morning and this year. Many of us are. And just saying we're all in this together doesn't really help. But I think looking beyond human togetherness and human bonding is more helpful. And looking at how the Apostle Paul handled adversity in his life and ministry may be helpful too. As we try to make meaning out of the spaghetti of emotions that we have and the events of this year, let's look at God's word today. The book of Philippians hits us right where we're at today. Paul isn't up there in the heavenlies and before the creation of the world as he is in the book of Ephesians. What he wrote to the Christians living in the city of Philippi was very practical, and what he wrote is also very relevant for us today. Paul deals with issues like suffering and injustice, false doctrine, and confidence in the midst of uncertainty, joy in the midst of sadness, grief, and the power of prayer when we struggle, the importance of Christian unity in the church as being a gospel witness to the world in troubled times. He speaks about all these things in this short little letter of Philippians. You see, the Philippians, along with Paul, struggled with many hardships and uncertainties in life, a lot like we do. Paul encouraged the Philippians, and God, through his letter, is encouraging us today to exalt or to lift up Christ, to exalt or lift up Christ in all circumstances in which we find ourselves, to find meaning and purpose in and through him, no matter what's going on in our lives or what's going on in the world. So the first thing we're encouraged to do today is to exalt Christ in our suffering. To exalt Christ in our suffering. Exalt. Where do we get that word? Oh yeah, at the end of chapter, verse 20, where it says, so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. So our newer translation of the Bible is using that word, exalt. I used to think of that word as one of those words that I only read about in the Bible or sing in a Christian hymnal, you know, a churchy word. As a newer Christian, many years ago, I had to look, that was one of the words I had to look up. What does it mean to exalt someone or to exalt something? Well, I discovered that it means to hold someone up in high regard, to speak highly of someone, to lift someone up in importance or status. So when we exalt Christ, we lift him up. We speak highly of him. We hold Christ in a high regard. So there's no reason to ditch words that we're unfamiliar with when we can spend just a few minutes learning what they mean, right? It's the language of faith. It's a language of the Bible. It's a language of the Christian church. We don't need to scrub our language of all biblical terminology just to try to appeal to someone or a certain group. So we can learn what they mean. So exalt means to lift up, to rise up importance and status. So when we're encouraged to exalt Christ in our suffering, we're encouraged to lift him up in importance in our lives and before others. It's a matter of who gets the attention in the end. Our trouble, our struggles, our pain, our conflicts, or Christ. Who gets the attention? Exalting Christ in suffering is lifting Jesus up so that he gets the attention, no matter what's going on. He gets my attention, no matter what's going on. Verse 12 says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. Well, what has happened to Paul? Well, as most of you know, he was thrown into prison because he proclaimed the saving faith of Jesus Christ, that exclusive claim of Christianity. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Paul sees beyond his present suffering, doesn't he? He knows who's really in charge. In that prison, Paul begins to learn that nothing can separate him from the love of Christ. And that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. Sometimes it's in the darkest moments of life that we can see God's shining stars. As a contemporary Christian song by Laura Story called Blessings goes, what if God's blessings come in raindrops? What if God's healing comes through tears? What if the trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? What if the trials of this life were your mercies in disguise? Has the illness of a child ever pushed you to prayer like nothing ever before? Has the death of a loved one caused you to wrestle with God, angels, and demons deep into the night, and you found yourself closer to God because of it? Haven't some of your trials been blessings in disguise? Story goes on to say in her song that our suffering reveals a greater thirst than this world can satisfy. Our suffering and our struggles in this world reveal a greater thirst that nothing in this world can satisfy but only God. No new president, no new governor, no new drug, no new food. Nothing in this world can satisfy but only God. I think that's right on. As Paul exalted Christ, even in his sufferings, he was able to see opportunities for spreading the gospel and to see a light of hope that is greater than his present circumstances, troubles, and pains that he was going through. as a result of what happened to me, Paul begins in verse 13, or as a consequence, as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. It has become clear to everyone. Everyone knows why I'm here, why I am in chains and imprisoned, that I'm here because of Jesus Christ, and I proclaim him. The palace guard referred to here is referring to that elite secret service of the Roman Empire. Not only that, but the guards were members of Caesar's own household. They were best friends and family members of the emperor. So what's going on here? Well, the gospel is spreading to the heart of the empire via, of all things, Paul, who is in prison in the capital city, in Rome. The gospel was spreading to the heart of the empire. That's not something Paul asked for, his imprisonment. It's not something he wanted to happen to him. It's not a ministry plan that he devised and he's working out. That may have been Paul's year 2020, where everything seemed to be going badly. As he's imprisoned, as his ministry seems to be stifled, as everything seems to come to a screeching halt, as he's thrown into that prison. But God was taking charge of Paul's situation, wasn't he? God was taking charge of his situation and his struggle, his suffering, and God did so for God's own purposes and God's own glory, to get the gospel into these strategic locations so that it would spread the whole world. God advanced the gospel of Jesus Christ through the sufferings of Paul because Paul used his sufferings as an opportunity to exalt Jesus Christ, to point to the hope that he had in Christ no matter what was going on, whether he lived or whether he died. He reminds the Philippians and he reminds us as well in a rather disturbing statement in verse 29 that we didn't read, where it says, "For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but to suffer for him." But to suffer for him. How's that for encouraging a church, huh? "For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but to suffer for him." How many of us, how many Christians know that suffering for Christ is part of this Christian life? So we exalt Christ, we lift him up in our suffering, and God takes our suffering, our struggles, our pain, and he transforms it. He transforms it for his own purposes. Next, we're encouraged in the Bible to exalt Christ in the uncertainties of life. To exalt Christ or to lift him up in the uncertainties of life. Sometimes life indeed throws us a lot of curveballs, like a pandemic earlier this year that continues. And when we thought it was the only train wreck we'd have to experience, was a presidential election. We get a pandemic and so many other things just seem to have gone wrong this year. We don't always know what's coming at us, do we? We don't always know how to respond, where to begin when life throws us these curveballs. One moment you're healthy, the next you're ill and unable to perform your normal duties. One moment you're dating someone, and all of a sudden you have nobody to go to the dance with. One day you have a job, the next day you don't. Life has so many uncertainties in it. This year has been a great example of that. But what intrigues me about Paul in Philippians is his singular focus. His singular focus that keeps him on track, even when things don't go as planned or as hoped for. He didn't know whether he would be tortured, whether he'd live or die in that Roman prison, but whatever happened, verse 20, he was confident that he would not be ashamed, but rather he knew that Christ would be exalted in his life, whether through his life or through death. His life focus was Christ, no matter what happened. He wanted Christ to be lifted up. He wanted Christ to be held in high regard. He wanted to point others to the hope that he had in him. You see, the book of Philippians does cause us to look at our lives very closely. It forces us to ask ourselves, why are we here? What's the purpose of my life? Why does God leave me on this terra firma? And how can I lift up Christ in this uncertain life and world? No matter what happens to me, Paul says, I am confident that Christ will be exalted in my body, in life or in death. And he says in verse 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. Or as the Heidelberg Catechism says in question and answer one, that I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. So we exalt Christ in our sufferings. We exalt Christ in the uncertainties of this life too. No matter what, we know that we belong to Him and He's got us in His hands. Next, we're encouraged to exalt Christ with the very lives we've been given. To exalt Christ with our lives. If I am to go on living in the body, Paul says in verse 22, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. Now, this isn't just fluffy sentimentality for the sake of the Christians in the Philippian church. Paul says he's torn between the two. And the words there in the original Greek has this sense of a ship that's anchored and the wind, the waves are pushing it in different directions. He's torn between the two of either departing, soul leaving the body. He has a very clear body-soul distinction here between the body, the soul leaving the body and being with Christ or staying in the church and staying in this world. He's torn between the two. Departing and being with Christ is much more better. In verse 23, as it says literally, it's much more better to go and be with Christ because it means being free from sin. It means being free of doubts and temptation and suffering, free from the enemies, free from our tears. It's the unending joy and peace that comes from the never-ending presence of the Lord that we studied about in Revelation this last summer. In verses 21 to 26, Paul clearly understood that when he died, his soul would leave the flesh, it would leave the body, and immediately be with Christ. And that means that there is no intermediate state, there's no middle ground, there's no so-called purgatory or heavenly waiting room or purging place that's talked about in the Bible at all. The souls of those who die in Christ go to be with Him in heaven immediately. So now, with this body, with this life that we have, now is the time to exalt Christ in all circumstances. Even though there are personal advantages of departing and being with Christ, Paul's love for the Philippians grounds him in this world. He says, "But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body." And so he has this sense, he has this confidence, he knows that he's going to be sticking around. The church needs him. It's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Nowhere in these verses is Paul just looking out for number one. He's concerned about the church and building up the body of Christ in this world. He wants to see the church grow, expand, and multiply because he wants to see more, reach more and more people for Christ. That should be the goal of all churches, right? Of all Christians, to see the advancement of the gospel of Jesus. To see the church grow and expand throughout the world. He's not trying to grow a mega church in one building, but instead looking for the exponential growth of the church by planting small churches in strategic locations so that the gospel of Jesus, His healing love, would go out to the whole world. Our outreach committee here at Fellowship, even during this pandemic, is already, we've been discussing the possibilities of church planting. We've been beginning some of these discussions so that we may reach more and more people for Jesus Christ. And church planting has shown to be very effective in this way. What is that fruitful labor for you, I would ask this morning? What is that fruitful labor for you while you have this life, while you have this body that you have? Where is God calling you to serve and use your gifts and resources? What can you do from a distance, from home? What kind of ministry could you have? I know of a few needs here at Fellowship. Like, we'd really like to have an intro video on our website, but we need a videographer or somebody who knows such things to help us do that. I know that we would like to have somebody more focused on our social media and keeping up with things and answering questions, and we would need somebody to help us do that too. Maybe you have an interest in church planting and or making sure that those who are sick or have lost loved ones are ministered to, not just once, but maybe throughout the months or years after somebody dies. Maybe you have a heart for campus ministry or would like to serve college students. There's a list of building projects that need to be funded and accomplished. What is fruitful labor for you as you serve the church? How does God want you to work through you? How does God want to work through you to bless others? How will you exalt Christ in this life? In this body that you've been given. So we're encouraged by God's word this morning to lift up, to exalt Christ in our suffering, to exalt Christ in the uncertainties of life, and to exalt Christ with our very lives and the bodies that we have, to exalt Christ in all circumstances. May we find our hope in and through him no matter what's going on today. Paul says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. May this same hope and courage live and move within us all as we trust in him and live for him this day and always. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you are worthy of all praise and honor and glory and power. We adore you, Lord, and as creator of all things in heaven and on earth, you are the one true living God, and we worship you today. We lift high, we exalt the name of your Son, Jesus. And we also want to be very real with you, Lord. So we acknowledge that sometimes it's very hard to exalt the name of Jesus when we're going through tough times, when we're under stress, or when life throws us a curveball. Some of us are going through great and joyous times today, while others are going through very sorrowful times. And Lord, we know that those are up and down throughout our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you are always with us, no matter what our circumstances. You're with us today, too. So in all circumstances, may our souls and bodies find peace in you, Lord. And may we find that sweet spot where the world's greatest needs are met by our greatest passions. In the name and the power of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.